The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the headline, Healthcare Leadership Awards. These leaders represent the best of the best among one of the hottest industry sectors in the Triangle economy. And there are a number of profiles of the Leadership Award winners. We'll read the list of winners and then a couple of the profiles. The winners are Natasha Anderson, Thomas Bashmore, Stephen Bojdwick, Greta Brunette, Vijay Chowdhury, Chirag Desai, Jeronica Goodwin, Tara Kennard, Cody Kinsley, Sheila McHale, Sean Rambo, and Henry Robillard Miguel. And so first we'll read the profile of healthcare manager Natasha Anderson. Title, AVP, Population, Health, and Commercial Care Management Company, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, residence, Pittsboro, age, 42, family, spouse, Dr. Robert J. Anderson, children, Arabi and Kyra, education, UNC Chapel Hill. What motivates you in your everyday work? I have the privilege to work alongside incredible people who are passionate about improving the health and well-being of North Carolinians. It's exciting to be able to make a real impact in our communities by improving health outcomes and reducing health disparities. What are your chief responsibilities? Accountable for all aspects of planning, performance, and operations of the population health strategies at Blue Cross NC, Commercial Care Management and Healthcare Consulting Department. Who was the most influential person in your professional life last year? Dr. Marcus Wallace, Chief Medical Officer and Vice President of Clinical Operations, is an incredibly thoughtful, kind, and patient-centered leader, and his mentorship has been invaluable during this past year. How does your work impact patients and others? I'm proud to say that our work directly improves health outcomes for North Carolinians and the broader community we serve, from increasing life-saving health screening rates, improving individuals' confidence and success in managing chronic conditions, and reducing health disparities. What trends will be important in the years ahead? An important trend that will impact more than just healthcare is the role of artificial intelligence and more specifically Gen AI in the healthcare infrastructure. This technology has incredible potential to enhance top-of-license care, reduce provider burnout, and improve workflows. The rapid advancements in this space, however, will require thoughtful leadership and oversight to ensure we continue to prioritize patient-centered care and mitigate the potential to widen health disparities. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? My parents instilled in me the value of humanity and caring for those around us. Though they often didn't have much to give, they were always available to help a friend or family member in need. Watching their acts of kindness inspired me to pursue work that has purpose and can improve the lives of others. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? Having grown up in North Carolina, I love so much of this state, but my family and I feel such a deep connection to the people and community we have here. What do you do to relax and have fun? For fun, I mostly enjoy painting, having conversations with friends, and playing games or having impromptu dance parties as a family. And next, we'll read about in support services, Sheila McHale. Title, founder, company, B.C. Ruckus, residence, Hillsborough, age 57, family, Megan McHale, education, B.S., University of Illinois, J.D., Northwestern University, MBA, University of Chicago. What motivates you in your everyday work? Despite getting 3D mammograms, my bilateral breast cancer went undetected for several years. I had to fight to get a diagnosis so I could get treated. Because of my persistence, I found my breast cancer just in time before it metastasized. I don't want other women to have my experience. What are your chief responsibilities? Advocating for expanded insurance coverage, for supplemental screening for women for dense breasts, educating women on the shortcomings of mammograms, including tomosynthesis, exploring emerging technologies that can cost-effectively find breast cancer early, and publishing and producing materials on this topic. Who was the most influential person in your professional life last year? Leslie Ferris Yerger of My Density Matters. After the traumatizing experience of finding two tumors about 3 centimeters each, which were missed over multiple years of mammograms, I went looking for answers. Leslie educated me about the shortcomings of tomosynthesis and the flaws in current breast cancer screening standards. How does your work impact patients and others? Breast cancer found early is almost 100% curable. Found late, there's only a 25% chance that a woman will be here in 5 years. While mammograms, including 3D tomosynthesis, work well for older white women, they miss up to 50% of tumors in younger white women and minority women. What trends will be important in the years ahead? Access to life-saving diagnostics and treatments is becoming more inequitable. To get the best care, people need financial resources, knowledge, and connections. Doctors are overwhelmed. Medical institutions often have the wrong financial incentives. Patients are becoming dehumanized, and outcomes are suboptimal. Healthcare in the U.S. is just too expensive, and relative to other developed countries, patients' well-being is worse. The system is in need of a significant overhaul. Technology advances like AI may help the situation. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? In this case, I tried to make sense out of an unfortunate situation and improve breast cancer screening for other women so they did not have to endure the suffering that I went through. I got lucky because my persistence resulted in a just-in-time diagnosis. Many other women are not as pushy as I am. Others don't have my financial resources or connections. They all deserve access to the right breast cancer screening test necessary to find their cancer early. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by managing editor Dane Huffman. Franklin Street bounces back. Chapel Hill's iconic Franklin Street is on the rebound. During COVID-19, 3 of the storefronts at the corner of Franklin and Columbia Streets were empty, and the hub of college life could be eerily quiet. Ye Olde Waffle Shop became a symbol of COVID's cruelty when it closed in 2020 and the store sat empty. But the old energy is returning. Raising Cane's is now open at the old Spanky's location, and Starbucks will move across the street where the Medici Italian Kitchen closed in 2019. Pulp Juice and Smoothie Bar will move into the corner at 100 West Franklin Street, the former location of Seafood Destiny. On the campus side of Franklin Street, Playa Bowl will move next to the new Starbucks, and the popular Cosmic Cantina is moving to a street-level location at 118 East Franklin Street that is owned by Chapel Hill Foundation Real Estate Holdings, a nonprofit that essentially manages property for UNC. The foundation is currently negotiating with tenants for properties at 120 and 122 East Franklin Street. Things are definitely moving in a positive direction for the 100 block of East Franklin, says Jerry Lynn Schulke, the executive director of the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership. The former Ye Olde Waffle Shop location will get a lift when chef Brandon Sharp opens a Spanish tapas and wine bar called Proximo in the fall. Meanwhile, a new parking deck is close to completion on Rosemary Street. UNC plans a revamp of Porthole Alley, a key corridor to campus. Some challenges remain. Linda's Bar and Grill remains closed after shutting down in January. And being profitable in the heart of Chapel Hill is always a challenge as rents are high and beloved places such as the Rathskeller and Porthole and Trolls eventually closed. But Schulke sees an encouraging trend. I believe things will look much different in that block next fall, she says. Wilson's Shop makes way for Mudcats. A popular sweet shop in Wilson is on the move as the land it currently is on is planned for a new baseball stadium. Treat Yourself Bakery will hold a grand opening in the massive mixed-use Centro at Pine Nash development on April 13. The shop opened in 2019 on 419 Goldsboro Street and specializes in cakes, cupcakes, weddings, pastries, desserts, coffee, and drinks. But the city of Wilson is acquiring that land to build a more than $60 million stadium. The Centro at Pine Nash, meanwhile, is Wilson's largest downtown apartment community, making up 5 stories and 240 units. The development also includes 10,000 square feet for retail. McConnell Golf Products head to the Masters. Back in 2008, McConnell Golf launched an innovative program to help promising golfers, and now it's paying off in a big way. We give talented high school golfers whose parents cannot afford a country club membership playing privileges at our clubs with tutoring from our golf pros, John McConnell tells Biz. Most of these kids end up with college scholarships, and now we have 4 PGA Tour wins and 2 on the big stage. That big stage is the Masters, where former McConnell Golf Junior scholars Akshay Bhatia and Grayson Murray will compete at Augusta National Country Club. Bhatia, who trains at the Lonnie Pool Golf Course in Raleigh, captured a thrilling victory at the Valero Texas Open on April 7 to grab the last spot in for the Masters. He made a birdie on the first playoff hole to punch his ticket to Augusta. Murray qualified for the Masters by winning in Honolulu in January to earn his second career PGA Tour win and his first since 2017. Nonprofit looks to spark commercialization. A nonprofit backed by state funding that looks to boost the commercialization of university research is launching a pilot program. NC Innovation expects to support 6 to 8 pilot grants in this initial round. The organization is using this smaller launch to test its processes before scaling the grant program and initiating a statewide request for proposals later this year. The state budget allocates $250 million to NC Innovation in 2023 to 2024, and another $250 million in 2024 to 25, depending on the group meeting certain requirements. The funding has been described as an endowment model that generates interest for NC Innovation to use for its grants programming. The organization is working with university leaders to identify potential research projects that could receive grants. This funding is intended to support the commercialization of this research, including through the creation of companies that remain headquartered in North Carolina. More dollars flow into Cary. More investment is pouring into Cary, with Lifetime Fitness spending $7.5 million on the land for a new location. Lifetime Fitness acquired 3870 Highcroft Drive within the Alston Town Center from American Asset Corporation, according to Wake County Deed Records. Lifetime Fitness is planning to build a 93,000-square-foot building with 480 parking spaces, an outdoor pool, and 2 indoor pools. The plan for the new fitness location has been approved by the town, while the building plan is still under review. Site development has started, with infrastructure work for the private roads, stormwater pond, sanitary sewer, outfall, and waterline underway on site. The new location will be on 12.63 acres that are assessed around $10.7 million. And finally, Durham evaluating its UDO process. Durham is looking for feedback on its new Unified Development Ordinance, or UDO, or UDO process. Durham City County Planning has launched an online survey on the Engage Durham website so that the community can share its thoughts. According to Durham, responses will be used to help guide thinking related to housing, transportation, and environmental issues. And now we turn to some of the top stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by Zach Ezone. Ask Bio co-founder steps down, successor named. The groundbreaking co-founder of one of North Carolina's most well-known gene therapy companies has left his longtime role in the C-suite. Jude Samulski was chief scientific officer at Asklepios Biopharmaceutical for more than 20 years, helping lead the company to a multi-billion dollar acquisition by Bayer in 2020. He has now left that role but will remain a member of the board of directors. The company, known as AskBio and based in Research Triangle Park, has named Mansuo Shannon as its next chief scientific officer, the company announced April 9. Shannon is joining the company from Prevail Therapeutics, a wholly owned subsidiary of Eli Lilly and Company, where she served in the CSO role. Shannon is tasked with leading AskBio's research and development organization and will report to CEO Gustavo Pesquin, who joined the company last year. I am confident that Mansuo's extensive background in neurodevelopmental and neurodegenerative diseases in particular will bring us closer to achieving our strategic vision of creating a new reality for people living with diseases that currently lack effective treatments, Pesquin says in a statement announcing the appointment. The transition marks the second major change in the company's leadership in about a year. Pesquin, in March 2023, joined AskBio as its CEO, replacing co-founder Sheila McHale. Samulski and McHale started AskBio in 2001 with the scientist Zhao Zhao. Over 2 decades, Samulski, who pioneered the use of adeno-associated virus, or AAV, based gene therapy platform, helped AskBio advance its technology and grow as an organization. That included the company in 2019 securing $235 million in investments, which supported mergers and acquisitions and the build-out of the company's manufacturing business. A year later, pharmaceutical giant Bayer made a move to acquire AskBio for up to $4 billion. Simulski was named Business Person of the Year in 2020 by Triangle Business Journal. Over the past 5 years, the company has increased its headcount from about 30 to 800 employees, a quarter of whom are based in the Triangle. And our next story is written by Lauren Onasorge. Breeze Airways weighs more RDU investments. As an ultra-low-cost airline hits a profitability milestone, it could be close to pulling the trigger on a crew base at Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Breeze Airways says that March was its first full month of operating profit, and its CEO says the Triangle is a big part of the story. The news comes months after industry publications criticized the airline for losses on its balance sheet. Last year, U.S. Department of Transportation filings showed losses of nearly $50 million for the third quarter alone. March's operating profit is a milestone that CEO David Neeleman admits happened later than he would have liked, but says it's fun to finally watch the cash go up. He acknowledges that the airline had some challenges getting pilots approved by the Federal Aviation Administration, but says, once we got going on all cylinders and got some markets maturing, we knew this was coming. Breeze debuted in the Triangle just over a year ago and currently has 17 nonstops on its route map out of RDU. Its competitor, Avalo Airlines, has 6 flights listed among RDU's nonstop destinations, yet it has something Breeze does not, a crew base. Neeleman says that could soon change. I think once we get up over 20 destinations, it makes total sense to put a base in Raleigh, Neeleman says. With a base, the presence of local crews often increases reliability for passengers. It also creates jobs. Keep your eye on this ball and we'll see, Neeleman says. Breeze has been barreling ahead while some other low-cost carriers have cut service. Spirit Airlines currently offers a single service out of RDU. Neeleman says in the case of Spirit, their planes are just too big and that people would just rather fly on Breeze. I think when they leave a market, we can make it work, he says, adding that he estimates Breeze's trip costs are at least 20% lower than those of Spirit, which recently had its planned buyout by JetBlue tanked by regulators. Breeze will soon debut RDU's sole nonstop to San Diego, among other new flights. Neeleman says the nonstop to San Diego is ready to go. The plane is amazing. It's got great legs, he says. Lennar to build more homes in Apex. This story is written by Kaylee Thompson. A popular master plan development in western Wake County will be adding more homes. Lennar closed on 80 lots in the Depot 499 community in Apex in early April, according to Wake County deed records. The Miami home builder spent about $9.1 million on the lots. Depot 499 will have 583 townhomes built by Lennar when complete. The home builder has sold more than 200 home sites in the community so far, according to its website. The 2- and 3-story townhomes start in the low $400,000s. The homes have between 3 and 4 bedrooms. Construction on the townhomes started in 2023 with an estimated completion of 2028. New homeowners in Phase 1 were able to start moving in November. Lennar did not respond to requests for comment on the project's timeline. The community will have several amenities, including a clubhouse with swimming pool, fire pit, playground, open pavilion, event lawn, pocket parks, play lawns, dog park, promenades, and walking trails. The homeowner association fee covers lawn maintenance and Wi-Fi for each home. Lennar has been assembling the land for Depot 499, a 200-acre community, since 2020. East-West Partners and Edgewater Ventures are developing the Flats at 499, a 285-unit multifamily project with retail. The Halley Company is planning to develop the Villages at 499, a 277-unit multifamily project. East-West Partners, Edgewater Ventures, and Goodwin Company are also developing a commercial parcel adjacent to Depot 499. Some of the retail offerings will be a coffee shop, gym, retail stores, and restaurants. And now we turn to our reporter pages. First, we'll read Lauren Onasorge's page on tech and startups. British firm picks RTP for U.S. expansion. Isotope Technologies plans to build out a team currently at 4. A British technology firm has picked North Carolina for its new U.S. headquarters. Isotope Technologies, and that's spelled I-C-E-O-T-O-P-E, Technologies, which creates cooling solutions for data centers, plans to open its first American office in Research Triangle Park just off Davis Drive. Nathan Blom, chief commercial officer, says the shortlist came down to Austin, Texas, Phoenix, and the Triangle. The Triangle was an easy decision, he says. We were looking for a site that would be able to have a talent pool and close proximity physically to the types of companies we partner and work with, Blom says. The plan is to grow the office into dozens, starting with the sales operations. Right now, 4 people are working out of the space. But ambitions are high. Blom describes the technology as an alternative cooling technology that can be applied to an entire data center, from computers to storage and networking. As the volume of data has increased in response to technologies such as artificial intelligence and cloud computing, so too has the need for cooling solutions at the data center servers. But Isotope's sweet spot is in sustainability. There's no stopping this data, so we've got to become more efficient at how to produce and use it, Blom says. Popular new Anthem Brewery faced millions in debt before closing. The now-shuttered New Anthem Beer Project, headquartered in Wilmington, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and it appears loans from the U.S. Small Business Administration were a contributing factor. Attorneys and business owners did not respond to requests for comment, but the filing continues a pattern. Multiple other companies have cited the loans in their filings, including most recently Title Boxing Club in Cary, whose attorney told Triangle Business Journal its $150,000 COVID loan may have been the final blow. The COVID-19 Economic Injury Disaster Loans, or EIDL, and the Paycheck Protection Program were both loan programs created by Congress to help companies get through the pandemic. But while PPP borrowers could request that their loans be forgiven, those who secured EIDL funds were supposed to pay back the cash. According to a report from the SBA's Office of Inspector General, 1.3 million loans under $100,000 were past due, delinquent, or in liquidation as of last May. New Anthem Beer Project, which in March announced it was closing its locations indefinitely, filed for bankruptcy this month, identifying nearly $860,000 in assets and just over $4.1 million in liabilities. That includes a $1.8 million debt to the SBA in the form of an EIDL. The firm is being represented by attorney Oliver Carter III. New Anthem, known for its IPAs, closed its locations last month, including a tap room at Smoky Hollow in downtown Raleigh. On social media, the business said it had been struggling for some time. Top of the list, debt and expansion before, during COVID, and the hangover from COVID that will just not go away, the brewery said. And finally, future of Cary site remains uncertain. As the months go by, it seems apparent Epic Games has no immediate plans to move forward with the new headquarters on a prime site in Cary. Real estate watchers are starting to wonder what the future of the former Cary Town Center property will look like as the town continues its development spree. Dennis Donovan of WDG Consulting says it might be tough to attract another headquarters campus like the one Epic Games proposed in 2021 after buying the property, which today has an assessed value above $100 million. First, there aren't many HQ relocations, he says, adding that a stronger possibility for the site should Epic relinquish it might be a tech company consolidating office operations, some of which might already be based in the Raleigh-Durham area. Now we turn to the On Healthcare and Higher Ed page. This is written by Zach Ezone. German firm to buy RTP device company. Ascensus Surgical has a robotic system that assists surgeons. A medical device firm in Research Triangle Park is finalizing an agreement to merge with a billion-dollar private company. Ascensus Surgical is negotiating a deal that would see German company Karl Storz acquire it. The two companies on March 28th entered into a non-binding letter of intent to negotiate terms of a potential transaction, according to a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The letter, which the Ascensus board has approved, includes a proposal from Karl Storz to acquire all of Ascensus issued and outstanding shares for 35 cents per share in cash. This amount is a 66.7% premium to Ascensus's closing share price on April 2nd, the day before the deal was publicly announced. Ascensus, as of March 15th, had more than 271 million shares outstanding, according to the company's latest annual financial report, for a deal value around $95 million. The purchase price represents Karl Storz' best and final offer, Ascensus said in a statement April 3rd. The deal follows a period of Ascensus executives considering various options to move the company forward. Ascensus, which previously operated as Transenterix, has a robotic surgical system, the Senhance system, that has received regulatory clearance in multiple countries, including the U.S. and Japan. Last year, the company initiated 8 new Senhance programs at hospitals. More than 3,550 surgical procedures were performed globally with the Senhance system in 2023, an increase of 13% from the previous year. Ascensus has 230 employees globally, with about 100 based in RTP. The company also operates facilities in Israel and Italy. The company's commercial rollout of its Senhance system, which received U.S. clearance in 2017, is focused on learning from the market and collecting data that can support the development of the company's next product. Ascensus CEO Anthony Fernando told Triangle Business Journal prior to announcing the Karl Storz deal. Ascensus is developing this system called Luna, with a focus on digital features that can help surgeons and improve surgical outcomes. This includes features like a camera that identifies a patient's anatomy and allows surgeons to take real-time measurements digitally. Novan's lead drug lives on with new company. A new biopharmaceutical company is picking up where a Durham firm that went bankrupt last year left off. Pelthos Therapeutics was formed around the former assets of Novan, which was pursuing the development of its lead drug before filing for bankruptcy in July. Pelthos is a subsidiary of Ligand Pharmaceuticals, which last year acquired some of the assets of Novan as part of the bankruptcy process. The assets included Novan's lead candidate, a topical gel that treats the viral skin infection Molluscum contagiosum. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the treatment in January under the brand name ZELSUVMI, spelled ZELSUVMI. Ligand formed Pelthos to advance the commercialization of ZELSUVMI. Pelthos is also occupying Novan's former facility on Stirrup Creek Drive, where the active ingredient for ZELSUVMI is manufactured, Pelthos CEO Scott Plesha says. And finally, startup with NC State roots raises $4 million. Medicom Technologies, a Raleigh startup with ties to NC State University, in late March filed paperwork with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for a nearly $4.1 million raise. It has set a total offering amount of $7.5 million, according to the filing. The funding comes from 6 investors and will be used for working capital, according to the filing signed by CEO Michael Rosenberg. Rosenberg and Malcolm Bennett co-founded Medicom in 2015 while at NC State to develop a health information network that connects disparate data silos through a single interface. Its technology enables providers, patients, and others to access and share information. And now we turn to On Real Estate, written by Kaylee Thompson. Bobbitt to expand in Wilmington region. Construction firm sees opportunities as coastal areas grow. A construction company with a long history in Raleigh is expanding with a new office on the coast, meaning it will need to hire in the Triangle. Bobbitt is opening an office in the Wilmington area to boost its business along the fast-growing coastal region. CEO Brian Denisar says the company has been steadily picking up projects on the coast for the past 3 years, fueling plans to open a permanent office. Bobbitt says it has contributed more than $80 million in direct economic impact in the Wilmington area. Bobbitt has signed a 5-year lease for a 5,000-square-foot building off Highway 17 in Leland. The office will be led by Chris Knight, hired in January specifically for this role. Knight comes from Samet Corporation, where he led the Charlotte office for 4 years. Denisar says Bobbitt will hire about 10 people over the next 12 months to work in the coastal office while also relocating 7 of its Raleigh employees there. Bobbitt had two locations in mind for its new office, Wilmington and Charlotte. It surveyed its employees to see which city they'd prefer to relocate to, and the response was overwhelmingly for Wilmington. The company was considering opening an office in Charlotte because it also has had several projects in that region, but the project based in eastern North Carolina was stronger and the timing was right, according to Denisar. The Wilmington Metro, including Leland, has been growing rapidly with multiple large economic developments underway. Wilmington was one of the fastest growing places in the U.S. between 2022 and 2023, with a population growth rate of 2.8%. Bobbitt has a goal of having between $30 million to $40 million worth of construction projects in the Wilmington region by the third year and hitting $50 million to $100 million by year five. The office at 9600 Plouffe Road in Leland has office space and a large warehouse space for the company's construction needs. Bobbitt is one of the largest general contractors in the Triangle. The company had gross billings in the region of more than $108 million in 2022, according to data compiled by Triangle Business Journal. Highwoods sells off some Triangle assets. Highwoods Properties has sold almost $80 million worth of assets in the Triangle to help pay down some of its debt. Since the start of 2024, the Raleigh company has sold nine office buildings totaling $79.4 million to three different buyers across nine separate transactions. The Real Estate Investment Trust sold all eight of its office buildings in the Rexwoods Office Park off Lake Boone Trail across from UNC Rex Hospital. The buildings total 338,000 square feet. Highwoods also sold a 97,000 square foot office building in the Creekstone Park Office Park near Research Triangle Park. After selling the office buildings, and once the Glen Lake 3 office building becomes operational, Highwoods' Raleigh market portfolio will have about 6 million square feet. At the end of 2023, it was 6.3 million square feet. The money from the sales will be used to pay down the company's revolving credit line. And finally, industrial space fetches premium price. A pair of properties in eastern Wake County recently sold for well above their assessed value, showing the real estate market remains hot for warehouse and industrial space. Hale Trailer Brake and Wheel, a trailer dealer based in New Jersey, bought two industrial buildings in Wendell for $4.53 million combined. The company bought the properties from Rampant Trailers, a trailer manufacturer. While office buildings and apartment complexes have been selling for under their assessed value in recent months in the Triangle, the industrial market is going in the opposite direction. The Triangle's warehouse vacancy rate was 4.89% in fourth quarter 2023, while office was 14.49%. And our last reporter page is written by Ben Tobin on Greater Triangle Growth. Meridian Waste continues expansion. Meridian Waste of Charlotte adds presence in Sandhills. A Charlotte waste services company that's been bolstering its Triangle presence has made another acquisition in the region. Meridian Waste North Carolina announced recently it has acquired Carolina Waste Services Incorporated of Moore County. The acquisition gives Meridian Waste an entrance into the residential line of business in North Carolina, along with collection vehicles, containers, and contracts located in Moore, Chatham, and Lee counties, the company says. Meridian declines to provide the financial terms of the deal. In January 2022, Meridian bought Raleigh's Dump Stars LLC and Clayton's Discount Dumpsters LLC, marking its third and fourth acquisitions at the time in North Carolina. The company proceeded to add two more companies in Sanford and Goldsboro in the following months. Mary O'Brien, Meridian's chief marketing officer, says Carolina Waste currently operates in Moore County from a hauling location at 137 South Trade Street in West End. It provides residential and roll-off collections throughout Moore, Chatham, and Lee counties. The company's collection vehicles and staff will be relocated to Meridian Waste's operating facility in Goldston at the end of Q2 2024. Operational staff from Carolina Waste will transition to Meridian Waste as part of the deal. O'Brien says the largest portion of Carolina Waste's customers is located in Moore County. Charlie Gray, Meridian Waste's Vice President of Operations, says Carolina Waste has a strong reputation for high customer service among its loyal residential and roll-off customer base. We're combining the existing company culture and quality operations with the startup of our first North Carolina residential contract with the town of Southern Pines at the start of 2025. Gray adds that the acquisition will create a solid entrance into the residential line of business, which has been limited until now in Meridian Waste's North Carolina operations. Headquartered in Charlotte, Meridian Waste serves more than 304,000 residential, commercial, industrial, and governmental customers across four states. Dollar store in tiny North Carolina town nets big price. A property in Wilson County skyrocketed in price between when it was purchased in July 2023 and sold again last month after the previous owner built a retail space on the land. An LLC tied to real estate investment company Net Street of Dallas purchased a 1.41-acre parcel at 6288 U.S. Highway 264 alternate in the town of Sims for roughly $1.4 million on March 19, according to deed records. Last July, the land was sold to Cedar Run Capital LLC of Wilson for $215,000 per deed records. The jump in value is due to the construction of a commercial building on the land. Per Wilson County tax records, the space encompasses more than 8,800 square feet. Louise Elbert, the clerk for Sims, says the building is a combined family Dollar Tree store and that it opened at the beginning of this year. And finally, 180 acres in NC Housing Development nets $13.9 million. A developer put up eight figures to buy land in a major development in one of the Greater Triangle area's hottest cities. An LLC tied to Contender Development, based in Greenville, South Carolina, paid more than $13.9 million late last month for a little more than 181 acres in the Midtown South housing project in Sanford along Collin and Lower Moncur Roads, according to Lee County deed records. The seller, an LLC tied to Mark Lukowski, an active developer in Lee County, has been assembling the land as part of a more than 340-acre development for several years. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World, inside the Triangle's nonprofit scene. Safe Child surpasses $11 million capital goal. Safe Child, a Wake County nonprofit that dates to 1992, has reached a key milestone. Safe Child, which offers child abuse prevention and intervention services at no cost, has surpassed its $11 million fundraising goal by raising $11.1 million in 2 years for its new 20,000 square foot facility. The facility is located at 2841 Kidd Road in Raleigh. The organization moved into the building in October and has since expanded programs and increased its volunteer base. Safe Child funded the new building through its Champion Our Children capital campaign, raising the funds from 425 donors. Major donors included Wake Med Health and Hospitals, Wake County, the City of Raleigh, the Kim and Fielding Miller Family Foundation, and the A.J. Fletcher Foundation. Kristen Duranja has served as executive director since 2015. She originally joined the group in 2004. The Junior League of Raleigh launched the nonprofit in 1992 with the goal of eliminating child abuse in Wake County. Autism Society gets help from aerospace firm. The Autism Society of North Carolina picked up support recently when aerospace firm Ontic, which has a site in Creedmoor, made a $5,000 donation. The donation came after Kyle Margeson, who is based in Creedmoor, won a global Mario Kart challenge and picked the autism group as the beneficiary. The money will go to the Autism Society's Granville County support group. I'm glad that we were able to raise money to help bring awareness and support for families of autistic children and adults, Margeson says. As someone with autistic friends, I hope our contributions will go a long way to helping spread awareness and support in this community, he adds. 5K race to raise funds for pet adoptions. Second Chance Pet Adoptions, a Wake County no-kill animal shelter, is gearing up for one of its biggest fundraising events of the year. Racing for Rescues is scheduled for the morning of May 5 at Sugg Farm at Bass Lake Park in Holly Springs. The 2024 Racing for Rescues event will feature a timed 5K race with prizes for fastest runners in their age categories, both with and without dogs, a separate one-mile walking course for people and their dogs, and a costume contest for people and their pets. Not available on May 5? Interested parties can also participate remotely from April 28 through May 5. volunteers get active in the month of April. April is Global Volunteer Month, and Activate Good plans events around National Volunteer Week, April 21 through 27. Activate Good plans to have 5 Learn and Serve volunteer events, including 2 focused on teens. One includes the chance to help celebrate Raleigh's Step Up Ministry on April 25 by setting up for their 35th anniversary celebration. Durham Habitat launches fundraiser. The spring fundraiser is underway for Habitat for Humanity of Durham and runs through June 2nd. As part of the fundraiser, existing sponsors have agreed to double match donations up to $170,000, funding 2 additional home builds. Durham Habitat provides a gateway for families to access the many benefits of home ownership, says Durham Habitat CEO Tiana Joyner. The donations we receive from our community allow us to partner with families to lower barriers to affordable home ownership and create opportunities for those who may not otherwise have access to owning a home, she adds. And finally, First Horizon launches charitable campaign. First Horizon Bank is commemorating its 160th anniversary with the launch of the Grants for Good campaign. Through this initiative, First Horizon Bank is donating $1.6 million through the First Horizon Foundation to support nonprofit organizations. The Grants for Good campaign will provide $10,000 in grants to 160 nonprofits across the bank's service areas, emphasizing First Horizon Bank's dedication to community empowerment and positive impact. Applications are accepted until April 30, with finalists announced in May and grants awarded in June. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Viewpoint page to read the editor's notebook, written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of Triangle Business Journal. The headline is North Carolina's economy in trouble? Not yet. On April 8, the Wall Street Journal released its annual list of the hottest job markets, and the Raleigh region ranked 14th on the list, which considered labor force participation, wage growth, and the unemployment rate. The Triangle fared reasonably well in all categories, but not well enough to crack the top 10, which belonged to cities such as Salt Lake City and several in Florida. Charlotte ranked 16th on the list. Last year, Raleigh ranked 5th, and the Charlotte area ranked 8th on the same list. So, what's going on? Does North Carolina need help with our economic development strategy to attract jobs? To understand better, we rely on the monthly report from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, which shows total employment across different sectors in the past 6 months. From September to March of this year, the fastest-growing employment sectors, percentage-wise, in the state have been educational and health services and construction, followed closely by leisure and hospitality and government. In the Raleigh-Cary MSA, the hottest sectors were government and health services, somewhat expected. So why are we obsessed with clean energy and tech jobs in this area? Starting with the North Carolina government and every Department of Economic Development department in this state, we have been told and preached to that North Carolina would soon become the epicenter of electric vehicle production and affiliated industries, think Toyota and VinFast. So far, while acknowledging the sector is in its infancy, the BLS numbers don't show that. One may contend that the construction of plants and facilities shows up in the BLS numbers, but not for the Raleigh-Cary MSA, however. Construction employment was one of the slowest 12-month growth sectors ending in February. True, those numbers are still better than tech employment. Over the past year, we have seen enough stories showing that EV sales growth is slowing. Sure, more people are driving EVs today than in the previous year, but there are increasingly more questions about whether hybrid vehicles work better for the American consumer. Not to mention, if Donald Trump wins the presidential election and those tax credits go away, will that not change the marketplace? As we near the start of the short legislative session, our lawmakers could corral the critical economic development agencies across the state and ask them for a plan B for attracting new jobs. Of course, we should not forget that 14th is on the edge of being in the top quartile among the 55 large metro regions studied by WSJ researchers. Memphis, Tennessee, and Providence, Rhode Island would love our rankings, but those are not our competitors. Education, healthcare services, and government have been the cornerstones of the Triangle's success. Professional services and leisure and hospitality sectors have provided the job growth safety net for most of the metro areas in the state. Our economic developers need to be aware of that. Chasing sexy jobs-heavy projects draws headlines, but numbers are beginning to emerge showing it may not have a long-term effect on economic growth. As many local and state officials have indicated in the past, the key to North Carolina's success will depend on our ability to harvest the sectors that are already solidly established in the Tar Heel State. North Carolina does not have a problem yet, but why wait? And now we'll read the big number sections that are sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first big number, 135. That's the number of branches for Virginia's Atlantic Union Bank shares, which now has a branch at 7702 Oberlin Road in Raleigh after its April 1 buyout of American National Bank shares. $24 million. That's how much BioFidelity, a genomic technology company with headquarters in Mooresville, has raised in its latest funding round. BioFidelity has 15 local employees. $10 billion. That's how much Blackstone will pay to acquire all outstanding common shares of AIR Communities of Denver. The transaction includes three multifamily properties in the Triangle. And our last big number is $1 million, roughly the amount of money real estate investor Larkspur Properties of Miami paid for a vacant lot that spans more than 5 acres in Greenville. And now we'll read the quotable sections that are sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first quote is from Amit Sharma, CD Data Software CEO on the Chapel Hill firm acquiring Data Virtuality of Germany for its second ever buy. "We are a high-growth company. Growth is north of 40%, but at the same time, we take profitability very seriously." And next, we have Dror Ben Asher, CEO on Red Hill Biopharma's efforts to divest assets or some of its operations. Raleigh serves as headquarters for its U.S. commercial operations. "We are actively pursuing and in discussions with multiple parties regarding strategic business transactions, including potential divestment of certain of our assets and or our commercial operations." And next is Paul Zarian, Managing Director at Heinz. "On the development side, we're still going to be active. We're perhaps more selective in terms of what's realistic today, so focusing on great locations that always have that benefit, thinking about ways where we can try to bring something that's a little bit different to the market." And finally, we have James Hicks, Franklin County spokesman on the county's purchase of land in an industrial park. "This property has been vacant for a long time, and Franklin County's purchase of this parcel will allow the county to clean up the property and use it for storage of equipment and provide office space to a county department." And now we'll read some news from around the state. First, we have an article by Eric Spanberg, Charlotte Business Journal. "Charlotte Airport aims to smash record. CLT looks to hit 60 million passengers in 2024, up from 53.4 million in 2023. Charlotte Douglas International Airport CEO Haley Gentry expects the airport will surpass 60 million passengers this year. If those projections are met, the airport would break its annual record of 53.4 million set in 2023 by 13%. Gentry shared estimates of passenger counts as part of an airport update and budget presentation to the City Council on April 8. Charlotte Douglas, or CLT, already ranks among the world's 25 busiest airports and is home to American Airlines Group Incorporated's second-largest hub. "Right now, Charlotte is the fastest-growing airport if you look at available seats on the market in the country," Gentry says, "and that is really amazing." "The anticipated increase in passengers will stress the operation of the airport," she added. "Charlotte City Government owns the airport and must approve its budget. CLT is one of City Government's enterprise funds, meaning it generates funding from customer fees. Other revenue sources include parking and concession revenue, federal grants, and airline fees and leases." Gentry and Mike Hill, the airport's chief financial officer, said they are seeking approval for an operating budget of $302 million for the fiscal year that begins July 1, an increase in spending of 17% over the current year. CLT's revenue forecast for fiscal 2025 is $487 million, or 25% more than the $391 million anticipated in the current budget year. Actual revenue and expenses in fiscal 2023 were $325 million and $225 million, respectively. Net revenue primarily goes to pay for debt service and capital projects, as well as airport reserve funds, Hill said. Gentry cited more travelers and more use of the airport, as well as inflation and the end of federal pandemic recovery funds as factors contributing to CLT's anticipated increase in expenses. And from the Triad Business Journal, Winston-Salem baseball team has new ownership. Winston-Salem's minor league baseball team has new owners. Billy Prim has agreed to sell the Dash to Diamond Baseball Holdings, a company that owns and operates select MILB teams affiliated with Major League Baseball teams. The Dash did not release terms of the agreement. All existing Dash employees will be retained, including current president and general manager Brian DeAngelis, who took over in 2021. The team will still play at Truist Stadium as the High A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Prim, founder and former CEO of Blue Rhino and Primo Water Corporation, has owned the club since 2003. It has been an honor to contribute to the history of professional baseball in Winston-Salem through ownership of the Dash, and I'm pleased to pass the baton to DBH, who share in my vision for the future of the franchise and its impact on the community, Prim says. DBH is widely known for its focus on investing in the local communities where it operates, with a commitment to providing affordable, family-friendly entertainment and unforgettable experiences, and I'm confident in their ability to do the same for Winston-Salem, he says. Now we have time left to read some more of the Healthcare Leadership Awards 2024. Some of the profiles. Next, we have Jeronica Goodwin, title SVP, Human Resources and Chief People Officer, Company, WakeMed Health and Hospitals, Residence, Raleigh, age 48, family, none, education, BS, Business Administration, St. Augustine's University, MS, Human Resources Administration, Doctor of Health Administration, Central Michigan University. What motivates you in everyday work? The fact that I get to impact lives by overseeing WakeMed's most valuable asset, its people. It brings me boundless joy to know that I can take part in the sacred care of the patient by hiring the best and brightest minds. What are your chief responsibilities? I am responsible for the overall leadership of human resources within the WakeMed system. Who was the most influential person in your professional life last year? I am unable to name one person who is most influential because there have been so many over the past year. I will say that collectively my team of directors have had the most influence this year. I learn from them every day. They have high standards for themselves, which makes my job a lot easier. More importantly, they are compassionate, professional, and seek excellence in all that they do. How does your work impact patients and others? I approach my work from the standpoint of the patient and their family. I always ask myself, if I were in the hospital for care, how would I want to be treated? How would I want my family members to be treated? Those characteristics drive the type of employees that we hire and the behaviors I want to see exhibited in our staff. What trends will be important in the years ahead? Yes, work-life balance, healthcare subscribes to schedules, but if anything, the pandemic has taught us that flexibility is key. It is key to surviving in this competitive labor market and key to how we deliver care. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? Healthcare chose me. I was headed in a different direction, and a meeting with a career counselor changed the trajectory of my life. My mom was a nurse, so I knew enough about healthcare to be intrigued and not interested at the same time. Seeing her work countless hours and the wear and tear on the body did not appeal to me. However, she came home fulfilled every day. After taking a chance and doing an internship in human resources at WakeMed many years ago and seeing the inner working of a hospital and health system, I was hooked and forever changed. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? There's lots to do in the Triangle, so my life is full. I've been accustomed to living in large cities, and the Triangle gives me metropolitan living with southern charm. That is a hard combination to find. I also like that it feels like family. Once you meet people, they become a part of your extended family in a lot of ways. The location is great as well. And next we'll read the profile for Cody Kinsley, title, Secretary, Company, NC Department of Health and Human Services, residence Raleigh, age 38, education, MPP, University of California at Berkeley, BA, Brevard College. What motivates you in your everyday work? The opportunity to make a positive impact in the lives of others. The North Carolina of my childhood gave my parents and their young family the opportunity to grow and thrive. Investments in my health, well-being, and education gave me the opportunity to succeed. And I aim to use my experience and sweat equity to help solve the greatest challenges we face today in health. What are your chief responsibilities? I lead the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, which operates 33 divisions with 18,000 staff and a budget of $38 billion. Our mission is to improve the health and well-being of all North Carolinians. Who was the most influential person in your professional life last year? Governor Roy Cooper leads with such integrity and deeply cares for the well-being of every North Carolinian. I get to see up close his optimism, integrity, and doggedness to deliver for the people we serve. Because of his unwavering leadership and strategy, we achieved Medicaid expansion and so much more. How does your work impact patients and others? My department provides regulatory oversight, administers the largest public insurance payer in the state, and seeds innovation. What trends will be important in the years ahead? While mental health is essential to whole person well-being, it has been underfunded forever. That is changing because of the great bipartisan work we've been able to do with the General Assembly, but there is still more to do. The mental health of youth must continue to be a top priority. Why did you choose healthcare for a career? The challenges my family faced navigating the health system and particular health issues we struggled with made health and health care an important part of my life from an early age. What do you like most about living in the Triangle? The Triangle is full of wonderful people who are kind and caring, akin to a small town, with the cultural institutions and diversity of a large city. What do you do to relax and have fun? I enjoy hiking, attending the theater and concerts, and by going to the movies and reading. I read about a book a week, often rotating between fiction and nonfiction. I just finished The Escape Artist by Jonathan Friedland. It tells the true story of Rudolf Virba, who escaped from Auschwitz to warn the world, an important reminder about heeding the truth. And we'll end our reading of the Triangle Business Journal with the Business Pulse Survey. The question: do you still think the Fed will cut interest rates this year? Total number of responses was 228. 38% say no. 37% say yes. 22% think it could go either way, while 3% didn't think it would happen. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.